It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy.
For the drum loop, took an extra second or so. Hi, this was the horn. Head on .live is where you'll find us online. If you pop over by headon.live here in the, you know, when the program's live. Well, the merry band in the madcap, wacky, zany, multimedia extravaganza is waiting for you. Yeah. In point of fact. Let me get that all squared away. In fact, you will be greeted by early arrivers. Sometimes things just go a little slowly around here. Early arrivers Theo and Squeaky and Irish Dave and Anatole, whose birthday it is today. Happy birthday, Anatole. I hope you have a wonderful, or are having a wonderful day. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is in fact a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space and become man cave. Yeah. So a merry time will be had by all. It is the second day of March, 2023. I'm still celebrating the fact that February's gone. it's been decent here today. It's pleasant in the fabulous horn studio here at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. A little bit kind of gray and crappy, but, well, still. We're under 3 weeks to the first day of spring, and I'm already all of the jonquils are blooming. Little riots of green and yellow along the hillsides here. Won't be long till people are talking about ramps. And a little bit after that, my favorite part of spring, the eruption of the red buds when entire mountainsides turn a glorious shade of pink. You know, the neat thing about the red buds is they bloom before their leaves come on. And so it's about the only, you know, apart from pine trees, and it's about the only color in the woods, and the pink just stands out. Oh, and look who's just joined us. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Steve! It lifts my spirits almost inexpressibly. Just makes me feel a ton better. Anyway, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so we say thanks ever so much to Elizabeth. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thanks as well to Chris in Germany for her part of the Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Thanks again to Randy Radar for finishing off the challenge yesterday. Thanks so much, one and all, for keeping this little broadcast effort rolling. For almost two entire decades. It still just absolutely blows my mind to think about it. But I said when we started this that we would outlast Air America. Ah, we did. And then some. Really pretty neat. Where to begin? It is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday, and today is just the regular $300 fundraising goal, so that's wonderful. Oh, heck, we've been messing around and down south for a while recently. Let's check in back in Tenistan. There's a member of the Tenistan House of Representatives down there by the name of Paul Sherrill. He is from Sparta, Tenistan. And this is the same dude who introduced a bill to change John Lewis Way in Nash Vegas to Trump Boulevard. Well, this maggot POS sits in the Tennessee Criminal Justice Committee. And, he has some, let's call them old-fashioned ideas about the administration of criminal justice. Before the Criminal Justice Committee on Tuesday was a measure to, because see, southern states that like to kill people in the name of the state and like to kill people in the name of the state, and the people they mostly like to kill are disproportionately brown and black people. They have such a devil of a time trying to commit these state-sanctioned murders because they have a hard time getting the drugs that they use for horizontal crucifixions. So there in the Criminal Justice Committee of the Tenistan House of Representatives, they came up with a solution. Let's bring back the firing squad. Because lethal injection and electrocution aren't enough. They really want they want a range of options there. Especially now that they've got a bill that, you know, maybe they could use on some more people that they really, really hate. Well, even the idea of adding the firing squad to electrocution and lethal injection, you know, horizontal crucifixion, wasn't enough for representing Cheryl. No, hell no. He had an idea all of his own.
That ideal. And I was just wondering about, could I put an amendment on that? Hanging by a tree also. And also, I would like to sign on to your bill, sir. Thank you.
Well, he'd like to sign on to that firing squad bill, but he sure would like to be able to lynch some folks, too. It'd be real OG and old school. Now, bear in mind, between the years 1877 and 1950 in Tenistan, there were at least 236 lynchings. No words from Representing Cheryl on whether or not he would like to make it really old school and let white folks come with picnic baskets and maybe their git fiddles and their banjos and their fiddles and whatever. Their washboards and hootin' jugs and no, I haven't heard that, but it seems clear that Representing Cheryl really does like the idea of getting to kill some people. The article about this over at the Daily Beast pointed out that right there in Sparta, Tennessee, some years back, a person who was enslaved and had managed to run away was dragged out of a prison and summarily lynched in a local cemetery. Some days are diamonds. Some days are interruptions. It's fine. But yeah, that. So apparently, Representative Cheryl is deep into, well, the heritage and the hate. Usually the weirdos are heritage, not hate. Now, Representing Cheryl, he's into both. No surprise, though. Oh, and it, thank you, Billable Rick. Billable Rick pointing out, outlasting. You forgot to mention that not only did you outlast Air America, but you outlasted Big Ed Schultz despite the bake sale model of funding your program.
That's not real radio, that's bake sale radio.
Well, poor old Ed. Sorry about, But apparently it's only real radio if you're hustling Buy Gold Now ads and the like, or stupid beats. Having been called out for his lynching fetish, Representing Cheryl said yesterday,
"My exaggerated comments were intended to convey my belief that for the cruelest and most heinous crimes, a just society requires the death penalty in kind. Although a victim's family can't be restored when an execution is carried out, a lesser punishment undermines the value we place on protecting life."
Yeah, he's got to protect life, Jack, Representing Cheryl is, by killing people. He's a real peach. I wonder if he only came up with that after maybe the murder of Tyree Nichols and thought, you know what them cops in Memphis needs? Hanging from a tree. And the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, a year ago, April, ordered that the state investigate how it goes about horizontally crucifying people. Because he was upset that the people who were going to horizontally crucify Oscar Franklin Smith, a convict, only tested the execution drugs right before the horizontal crucifixion was supposed to happen. And that caused the execution to be called off right lickety-split-like. And then the Tennessean, the newspaper there in Nash Vegas, said that even after they went all over the entire process and examined it from beginning to end, the Tennessean officials still can't follow their own damn rules. Yeah. Of course, also in Tennessee, they have now passed and signed into law, Bill Lee did, you know, the Auburn grad who dressed in drag for some high school shenanigans. Yep, it's illegal to perform drag in public in Tennessee now. The biggest problem, though, is that, the way they define drag means that they can start snatching up trans people who are just living their lives. Trying to figure out how they're going to go about arresting the trans boys in Tennessee, you know, with their Levi's and their work boots and their plaid flannel shirts, and you can't wear that. Yeah, the drag ban goes into effect on April the 1st, just in time to try to criminalize pride festivities. Also today, Bill Lee signed another bill into law that encourages trans kids to commit suicide. That is a trans medical ban. These fiscal conservatives will now spend a fortune defending both bills in court. Issuing a joint statement, the American Civil Liberties Union and Lambda Legal said certain politicians and Governor Lee have made no secret of their intentions to discriminate against youth who are transgender or their willful ignorance about the life-saving health care they seek to ban. Instead, they've chosen fear-mongering, misrepresentation, intimidation, and extremist politics over the rights of families and the lives of transgender youth in Tennessee. We are dedicated to overturning this unconstitutional law and are confident the state will find itself completely incapable of defending it in court. Well, if the defenses go anything like Arkansas and Alabama's did, they are not wrong in that assessment. But it's terrifying. And I have seen post after post after post on various social media sites of people in Tennessee saying, what the hell do I do? Where do I run? Or the ones that are most heartbreaking, the ones who say, I'm stuck here. I can't leave. There is no way for me to get out of here. And now they're trying to kill me. You know, full-grown adults. The language of the Tennessee ban says it's illegal for male or female impersonators who provide entertainment that appeals to a prurient interest from performing in public spaces. Okay, well, that's great, but who defines the prurient interest? Because I'm sure to Governor Bill Lee and the various and sundry mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, snake-handling, tongue-speaking, floor-rolling fiends of the Tennessee legislature, I'm quite certain that just being in public as wearing clothing that a Republican doesn't like will be prurient, because that's the problem. The prurience is in the minds of these perverted Republicans. And they are a filthy lot. So hopefully the ban and the, both of the bans will be challenged in court and an injunction will be issued. And as I've said before, I wish I could say now there's no way that this thing will pass constitutional muster in a federal courtroom. But there's lots of maggot judges now. And then up there in Washington, our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. Well, anything can happen. Sorry to open the program with that. But it's where the Republicans are. It's who they happen to be attacking now. And then there's Ron Monkey Up DeClantis again. Who has given an interview to the Times of London? What? He said, he was asked straight up whether he is going to run for the Republican nomination for president. A man named a reporter, the U.S. editor of the Times of London, David Charter, pointed out that they met for the interview at the GOP headquarters in Florida, not in the governor's office. And at that meeting, there were lots of copies of Ron Monkey Up DeClantis' new Birdcage liner, his memoir. It has a chapter in it called Make America Florida. God, how bad is Florida? I live in West Virginia, and that grosses me the hell out. Bear in mind, Rupert Murdoch owns the Times of London. That's sort of telling. And David Charter calls him personable and chatty. And the piece contains this quote. You'll sometimes read stuff like DC public gossip. They're like, oh, you know, he's not social. Because honestly, when I was in Congress, I wasn't there to party. I didn't want to be part of the scene. My job was to represent the people. So I would do my job and I would go to my office, sleep on the couch, wake up, do it the next day. And I didn't really have time for any of the other stuff. Just a hardworking man of the people. I just wanted to focus on the task at hand. And now it's like I'm not out dealing with political people unless I have to. If I'm going to be out doing different stuff, you know, Monkey Up, maybe under the circumstances, you might not want to use phrases like going to be out. Maybe you find a better way to phrase that, Rhonda. Because you might be violating your own don't say gay law. I'd rather my wife be with me or kids be with me. Ah, so you like to be around kids, do you, Rhonda? But they got around to, they got past the shilly-shallying. And DeSantis was asked about Ukraine, you know, because of his vast foreign policy experience. And they said, okay, well, what would be the difference between you and Joe Biden on Ukraine? And he got snitty. I ask about Ukraine, Charter says, and he says that there's a critique of Biden, and I think I'm sympathetic to it in the sense that is our policy to just do whatever Zelensky wants, or do we have a concrete idea of what we're trying to achieve exactly? Maybe Rhonda isn't paying attention. Wouldn't be the first time. Maybe he's just completely consumed by his own pustulant hatreds. But there is a plan in Ukraine. The plan in Ukraine is to drive Russia out of Ukraine. When I ask him how it should be handled differently, Charter continues, he refers to Biden being weak on the world stage and failing at deterrence, but as that is not answering how it should be handled now, I ask again. DeSantis doesn't have anything to add. Perhaps you should cover some other ground. I think I've said enough. Well, the exchange being described as testy. Are you kidding? Rhonda would hang Volodymyr Zelensky out to dry so fast that Zelensky would find himself going, wait, what? Why are these clothespins on my shoulders? God, he's disgusting. And it remains to be seen if he's going to actually run. But wow. What an ass. So, other bigger, well, big-ish news. In the stack today. Even ordinary court filings are a big deal now. The FBI has opined to a court of competent jurisdiction the DOJ that it would be legal for several members of Congress and some DC or Capitol Police officers to sue Nitwit Nero civilly for inciting the terrorist attack of January 6th, 2021. Good. Hopefully they will file that suit and stoke the stroke. Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize it. But it's that time of year again. Yep. CPAC. The Conservative Political Action Committee. Stand by. Apparently it's screw with Robin while she's on air day here at the mansion. CPAC is back in session. And for once, people are staying away in droves. Even though top Republicans like Rafael Leto, Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, and Jerk Deluxe Vance, the fake hillbilly, are on the agenda. Some of it's been showing up on C-SPAN. There are lots of empty chairs. The people who do manage to be in the chairs are, as one might expect of a Republican crowd, cranky, old, and white. The vendors aren't there. The exhibits aren't there. Now, on the other hand, Nitwit Jr. showed up for the Maggot booth. I guess he was signing autographs. Now remember, this is all the outfit that is run by Matt Schlapp. Matt Schlapp, remember? Matt Schlapp? He's been pissing and moaning lately. Because you might recall that not too long ago, he got called out by a young man who said that Matt, who, by the way, pretends at being straight and is married to Mercedes Schlapp. Well, on the way back to a hotel after stumping for Walker, Texas Strangler, Matt Schlapp reached over and stroked the young man's thigh and eventually got past his thigh and gave his junk a nice grope. No such thing as a nice grope. A considerable grope. Because, you know, this is how Republicans roll. He has now decided, Matt Schlapp has, that yes, he, Matt Schlapp, is a victim. A victim of fake journalists pushing this leftist agenda and lying. Well, the problem is the journalists aren't the ones that initiated the story. A bona fide, rock-ribbed, Republican-voting Republican who was campaigning for Walker, Texas Strangler, he's the one who pushed it because he's the one who got sexually abused. The Walker campaign didn't just corroborate the young staffer's allegations, but supported him too. Well, this in turn, what a surprise. I mean, I didn't know this could happen. This in turn has led Fox News TV Radio Rwanda not to let Matt Schlapp on the air, and a whole bunch of Republican hotshots are staying the hell away from CPAC, as previously mentioned. But Nitwit Nero, who has his own sexual assault problems, only with women.
I'll be there. I'll definitely be there.
It's entirely possible Fox News TV Radio Rwanda didn't even sign on as a sponsor this year. Usually they're good for $250,000. Speaking to that mackerel rap, the Washington Examiner, Matt Schlapp cried and bleated and brayed.
This media will take any charge and run with it if they can destroy a Republican or a Trump supporter or a conservative. That's what we have in this country.
Hey, Matt, Al Franken would like a word. Of course, Al Franken never touched anybody. Certainly never grabbed any young man's crotches. And by the way, Matt is now being sued. Matt Schlapp is being sued by the young man whom he allegedly sexually abused. And so is Mercedes. And so is, I think, CPAC maybe. And it's one of those sue them all and let God sort them out kind of situations. But Ron DeSantis says they're coming, as well as former Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. I wonder if this is going to wind up being an IOKIYAR kind of circumstance. But they're trying. They're trying there at CPAC to get the crowd revved up. Representing Scott Perry, whose cell phone apparently has all kinds of damning evidence about the run-up to and day of the terrorist attack on the Capitol, January 6, 2021. Well, he did sit down and yap at the crowd about things that have to do with freedom, y'all, freedom!
Gas stove, but that you must buy.
Hold on.
That you can't buy a gas stove, but that you must buy an electric vehicle. That you can't go to work, but you must put some experimental potion in your arm and then keep showing up to do that to visit your church of worship. Our personal sovereignty is what this nation was built on.
You getting all this? You can't buy a gas stove, but you have to buy an electric car. Yeah, that was maggot gold. That was maggot red meat. But describing, oh my God, describing the COVID-19 vaccine and its following boosters, which have been a generation in development, mRNA vaccines, which are highly effective and have saved countless lives, maybe even mine. According to Scott Perry, who is an insurrectionist in his own right, that miraculous product of the dedication of God alone knows how many scientists, biochemists, pharmacological geneticist, that is a magical potion you put in your arm, and if you don't, you can't go to your house of worship. and that's a matter of personal sovereignty? How do you... This shit makes me crazy. Here in the first few years of the third decade of the 21st century, when we should all be floating around wearing helium-filled pants. Hi, Reverbo. Instead, we've got nattering numbnuts like this blathering about personal sovereignty and magical potions in your arm. Where are you, Scott? Where are you when I need...
We're all screwed, Robin.
And it's the foundation. It is under assault by every single facet of the government. And as Ralph has said, we are going to create a firestorm. Look, if it's up to me, there's going to be a firestorm. These leftists, these Marxists that have prevailed upon the American people and used the awesome power of the federal government to cow us into fear in our homes, they've got to...
These Marxists, you know, Marxists like Joseph Robinette Biden. Marxists. Wonder why they haven't just gone full on, you know, why not call it Maoists? Or is that just a little bit too complicated? Hell, Marxist is too complicated for the average Fox News radio or Wanda viewer. Commies! Stop assuming the intelligence of your audience, Scott Perry. Just yell commies some.
Got to be put on notice. They've got to be quaking in fear. They've got to be worried. They've got to be losing weight because they're not eating, because they're worried that they're going to end up going to jail for using the awesome power of the federal government. And if they're not interested in showing up in Mr. Jordan's hearing, you know what? I'm in charge now on the Transportation Committee of federal leases. Isn't that something? I wonder whose leases might be coming. Well, we're taking a look at the list. It's going to be awesome when they go from a big building to about, oh, I don't know, that space on the square there, Todd. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
I love it.
Like, we got a fight on every corner, ladies and gentlemen.
I think he just confessed to something there. I don't think he's covered under the speech and debate clause right now, because he's at CPAC. That sounds like an extortion plan. Oh, but it's poorly attended, CPAC is. But nonetheless, they're hauling out the crazy. Get the hockey puck for this one.
McCarthy said a couple of months back that he's seen nothing that Biden's done that would be worthy of impeachment, but it seems violating the oath of office and not protecting this nation from enemies, foreign and domestic, and letting that balloon invade our airspace, that is worthy of impeachment.
It is. But look, you know, the issue that all of us face, you impeach Biden for mental, you know, mentally he's not here, but look who you get, the giggler. Who wants her?
The giggler. Wow. That's a few consonants and a couple of vowels close to the word he really wanted to say.
Yeah, we can't impeach Biden. Because then, you know, we'd have another one of them in the office.
It's all they are. Hatred, bigotry, various phobias and mesias. The giggler. But the guy saying, he needs to be impeached over the balloon. He let that Chinese balloon invade American airspace. Hey, Todd Starnes, guess who else let balloons invade American airspace? Shh, I know. Inconvenient.
And on the balloon.
You call her the giggler?
The giggler,
the giggler.
Yeah, yeah. She laughs at everything. But the problem that
damn sure laugh at you, cracker.
We interviewed General Kellogg, who is, you see him on Fox all the time. He's a no-nonsense general. He, first of all, said Milley should have been fired a long time ago. And he was a traitor. But he said, but get this, look where they shot.
McCarthy said a couple of months back that he's seen nothing.
He just called the most senior military officer in the United States a traitor. You know, if we were to put him in the Wayback Machine and send him back to about 1820, 1830, that military officer would be coming up, taking off his glove, slapping him soundly across the face, and saying, I'll see you at dawn, dipshit. I bet you I know who'd be the better shot in that situation. The officer, in this case General Milley, probably wouldn't have his glove back on before the foul stench of that Congress creep shitting himself was filling the air. Then there was a blatherer from some D.C. area hate radio outlet, Larry O'Connor. I probably should have done the hockey puck warning for all of these.
Flicker, my friend from Town Hall, who has a very important historic distinction. He was kicked off and banned from the Don Lemon show. I forget, what did you say again?
Well, so I'm on the show, and he says, and this is when we run up to Trump, and he says, you know, Kirk, this is terrible. This is the worst thing ever. Do you know what Donald Trump said? And I'm like, I don't know. And he said that Hillary got schlonged when she was running against Barack Obama.
I remember
and this
that.
The worst thing
that
ever.
That was a good one.
And I said, I don't care. Hillary Clinton, I mean, you care about that. Hillary Clinton literally stood by while her husband used an intern as a humidor.
Oh, yes.
And he, you can't say that. So I said, she sat there and literally stood by as her husband used an intern as a
No, she didn't. Hillary was nowhere to be seen. But you'll notice that was 1995, and Kurt Schlichter, who, by the way, in case you're wondering, is a complete and total moron. Is still beating off to it. All these weirdos. These freaks.
The humidor and boot off of CNN. Best thing that ever happened to me.
So that's Kurt Schlichter is not Don Lemon material.
What does that mean? Oh, wait. Okay. That's a homophobic jibe. Not Don Lemon material, you know, because Don Lemon's gay. And what would CPAC be without Chaya Raichik, the libs of TikTok creep, who has played a role in harassing any number of people into God only knows what desperate acts. But Kurt Schlichter wasn't done. In addition to fantasizing about Bill Clinton's sex life, remember, the entire Clinton impeachment had a nickname back then. It was called the Great Cleanus Hunt, CLENIS. Feels like only yesterday, you know? Funny thing about memory. Yeah, the Great Cleanus Hunt. Well, when he's not fantasizing about Bill Clinton's member. Apparently, Kurt Schlichter has some murder fantasies.
It looks like.
Oh, I know what I look. I identify the opponent. I identify the enemy. And that's what the media is. I remember being in the Gulf War. That was back when America won wars. And the Pentagon knew which bathroom to use.
Got to work that shit in, don't we? They're obsessed. And frankly, it's a little creepy. No, it's a lot creepy. You know, the Gulf War, when we knew how to win wars. Only we kind of didn't win Bush War One, and we certainly didn't win Bush War Two. And we didn't win in Afghanistan. Unless the metric for victory has changed substantially. Those don't go in the W column. Those are more like no decision. And the military knew which bathroom to use. He thinks he's clever saying this hateful shit. But remember, he's talking about identifying the enemy.
Being in the Gulf War, that was back when America won wars, and the Pentagon knew which bathroom to use.
And even the pasty-faced, doughy white people out in the audience, who there aren't a lot of, that wasn't the knee slapper Kurt Schlichter was hoping it was going to be.
I remember we're out in the middle of the desert. Sergeant comes up to me and goes, sir, if we have any reporters around, can I shoot them? And, of course, I was a good officer. I always listen to my NCOs.
You know, it's funny. It's funny when members of the military want to shoot members of the only profession that's mentioned in the Constitution. You know, reporters. That's funny. I tell you, I don't care. You. That's funny.
But no,
you're not advocating that anybody would.
No. I would never advocate hunting the media for sport.
There's already an article breaking Kurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaking Kurt threatens 30 years ago.
It looks like.
Yeah, I would never. Yeah, hunt reporters for sport. Interesting qualification there. They really are, though. They're trying to rev up the mouth walkers and the knuckle breathers, for all they're worth. Hit them with the big hits. Senator Foghorn Leghorn Jubilation T. Cornpone from Louisiana stands there.
What else is the truth? The truth is that God is great, beer is good, And the United States of America is star-spangled awesome.
Yeah, okay. I guess. That's who Republicans think they are.
Americans do not deserve to be governed by deeply weird, nauseously woke people who hate George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Dr. Seuss, and Mr. Potato Head.
Wait, what? Dr. Seuss? I don't know, maybe the dentures are slipping. Dr. Seuss. Or does he mean Dr. Zeus? And this is what passes for profound and deep political, philosophical thought over in maggot world. Weirdos. Weirdos. Because, you know, Joe Biden's a weirdo. Kamala Harris, weirdo. Merrick Garland, weirdo. Anthony Blinken, weirdo. Yeah. It really is astonishing. How much, for all of their talk about the star-spangled awesomeness of the United States, it really is kind of surprising how much they hate well over half of the people in their own country. Because, remember, these people are maybe 30, 37, maybe 40% of America. The other 60 or 60 plus percent of America are the aforementioned weirdos.
By deeply weird, nauseously woke people.
Can we just come up with a rule? And it needs to go viral. If any of the people who listen to this program and then, you know, the next day it finds itself in wider forms of media are paying attention, y'all, here's something that needs to happen. We need to make it clear that anytime a Republican uses the phrase woke, we simply recognize them and call them out as being the racists that they are. Because in using the term, they are mocking a concept developed by people of color. They are appropriating that concept and turning it to nefarious ends. If there was an agreement that every time some Republican says woke, I don't care if it's Rhonda Santis or Jubilation T. Cornpone here, then there is an immediate news story written that refers to them as so-and-so using the term woke and derisively and therefore outing themselves as the racist that they are, dot, dot, dot. It might finally get them to stop using it. They'd piss and moan. But still. And then there's this little gem of philosophy, reasoning. And of course, anytime you're talking about John Kennedy of Louisiana Stan, you have to remember that this guy actually knows how to speak in what we might call network broadcast standard. He's intelligent. Once upon a time, this fucker was even a Democrat. Did you know that? He was. But the only way to advance one's political ambition in the current circumstances and current climate in a place like Louisiana Stan is to go to the dark side. This guy was educated at Oxford, and I don't mean Mississippi. He knows how to think, but he is first and foremost a political animal, and he has to keep the rubes going at a rolling boil, just like he's a boil on the ass of America.
I look for grace wherever I can find it. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
Tell that to families whose children weren't food insecure for the first time, for a brief time. Tell that to the people who were able to live through a pandemic with help from the Biden administration. Tell that to people whose lives will be made better by infrastructure projects sought by the Biden administration. Then again, those things are good for America, and he belongs to a party that hates America. So folks didn't show up that much, but that didn't stop the usual suspects from doing usual suspect things. They even managed to get the man who every day vies for the title of most stupid member of the United States Senate to come by for a set two. You know, Marsha Triple X Blackburn and Ron Johnson are in the running too, but I tell you what, you got to get up awful early in the morning to out stupid Tommy the Tuber.
We have to hold on to every sport, whether it's elementary school, junior high, senior high, college, professional, because sports have built this country.
Sports built this country. Football, in particular. Yeah. Football built this here country. While they were playing it right there, they were playing it right there in that big open square right in front of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia lost that one, too. Football. Mm-hmm. Got to hang on to every sport. Never mind the head injuries. Never mind the fact that the life expectancy of an NFL lineman is really not that long. Because head injuries. Bodies beaten to a pulp. Got to hang on to every sport. There's Tommy the Tuber. He's a great football coach. I mean, he weren't no Bear Bryant, but he's a great football coach. And he beat Bear Bryant's teams, even though Bear Bryant was all busy being all dead and all. Brother Deacon. Judas Cradle. Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa is unhappy with that representative up in Tennessee. Fuck that guy and his weak sauce murder methods. And Brother Deacon says, bring back the Judas Cradle. God damn it. Yeah. Brother Deacon, well, he don't brook no shit. Might as well check in with Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, while we're at it. And by the way, we're an hour into the program, had $300 to raise. We're still at a zero, but hopefully that'll change. And please, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe. Leave a comment. If you're listening on TuneIn, mash that heart button. And apparently, some of y'all are doing that, and it's really great, and I'd appreciate it if you'd keep on doing so. If you're listening on TuneIn, mash the heart button there on the player. Like, subscribe on whatever platform you get the podcast on. It really does help. And when you leave a comment for the algorithms, that lets them know that people are engaging with the program, which is cool. Okay, Rafaelito. Rafaelito's still sad. He done missed the Eagles concert. No, not the Philadelphia. No, the Eagles. What makes me think that the Eagles are probably glad he did?
Listen, CPAC has an interesting mark to my mind as of really the beginning of the pandemic, because we did the podcast, did verdict here at CPAC. I flew home. And actually, I had a campaign fundraiser at an Eagles concert, and I love the Eagles. I will confess that was my idea. It's like, all right, if you got to have people write checks to the campaign, let's at least go to a cool concert and enjoy it. And so we're sitting there Saturday early evening, and I get a phone call from Matt Schlapp. And Matt's like, Ted, I need to tell you, so
did Matt ask you if you'd like to go up to his hotel room with him? Is that what you're getting? Is there something you want to tell us, Ted?
Oh, a good friend of ours who was at CPAC with you has this thing called COVID. And you guys were palling around and this is kind of a problem. I'm like, oh, really? And so I ended up quarantining for 2 weeks as a result of Matt's call. Thank you. But I will tell you, the worst part was not that. It was Heidi coming down the stairs dressed to the nine. She was ready to go to the East.
Oh, is that the same Heidi Raffaelito that you stood idly by while Nitwit Nero called her a dog? Said she was ugly? Is that the same Heidi? You big, bad, bold, butch Texan, you?
Eagles concerts. And I'm like, okay, sweetheart.
I love that we have a studio audience, because if you didn't hear that on the audio of this, all the ladies goes, aw, in the audience here.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the pasty-faced, doughy old white women. But then again, they were probably 20-somethings when the Eagles' first hits came out, so whatever. Because, see, all the hip young Republicans, you know, both of them, they're not going to CPAC. They're going to Nick Fuentes' Nazi Fest. That's where they're going. Because it's a lot cooler there. They can go and find out how gay it is for guys to dig women. Wish I was kidding. Aww.
She comes down ready to go. And I'm like, okay, sweetheart, we can't go. And she gets mad. She's like, these people paid thousands of dollars to, like, go hang out at this fundraiser. You can't stand them up. And
can you imagine? I mean, because I'm having a hard time buying this story. That there's a bunch of people anywhere on planet Earth that would pay thousands of dollars to go and hang out with Raffaelito. I mean, what kind of good time is that? Hearing that voice, piss and moan and grunt, but then again, you know, maggots. I loved how he said that, you know, COVID kind of started at CPAC. I wonder how much truth there really is in that.
At this point, very few people knew much of anything about what COVID was, yeah. But I'm like, look, this is potentially a deadly virus. We don't know. And I promise you they will be happy that we're not exposing them to it at the outset. So we called and explained it to them, and they had a great time at the concert, and we stayed at home, and Heidi was mad at me. So.
Well, at least something good came of it. Heidi was mad at him. I'm guessing Heidi's been mad at him.
My wife gets
COVID. Hold on. Stop. Slow down there, Jerk Deluxe. I'm guessing Heidi's been mad at him. Oh, since back when he let Nitwit Nero talk about her being hideously unattractive. And Ted couldn't quite find the requisite testicular fortitude to call him out on it. But yes, Jerk Deluxe Vance was there. I guess it was the things that happened with COVID personal account portion of CPAC.
My wife gets COVID, and she actually, for me, it was like a mild cold. For her, she got actually pretty sick, which maybe has something to do with the fact she was 39 weeks pregnant. 9 days.
Funny how he just tosses that. It might have had something to do with her being 39 weeks pregnant. Ho-hum. I thought this was the party of life, where pregnancies are to be cherished and adored and even remembered warmly and fondly. Nah, she's 39 weeks pregnant. That's probably why she got sick.
Days afterwards, she starts going into labor, and we called the hospital, and they said, try to wait another few hours, because if you come in now, you're going to have to wear the full mask, body gear set up, complete quarantine. Your husband can't be in the room with you, but if you wait a few hours, then you've reached the quarantine period. This was in December of 2021. So we ruined, I mean, all of us have a crazy COVID story. I think mine is better than most. In other words, and there were a lot of people, of course, who were prevented seeing loved ones in their final moments, and that is heartbreaking. But
I love that was heartbreaking, but he's got Jerk Deluxe has the better story.
The failure to be honest about this virus with the American people ruined a lot of lives. And the fact that they called us conspiracy theorists for stating the obvious. I mean, why?
How is telling the American people that the virus is deadly, that it was highly transmissible, it was super contagious, how is that a lie? And how is advising Mrs. Jerk Deluxe about the treatment protocols that would be involved, how is that a bad look for the hospital? These people, these maggots, they live in a reality of their own creation. And Jerk Deluxe, well, and by the way, thank you, Steve in New York, for that. Jerk Deluxe probably would do well. Judge for yourself the term he uses for the Biden administration.
They know that the very thing that makes this country special is that whether you're powerful or not, whether you're rich or poor, we all have equal justice under law.
Bullshit.
Or at least we did until Joe Biden's gang of thugs moved into the White House.
Gang of thugs. This fundamentally decent man. This still goes to church Catholic. This guy who inherited a horrifying pandemic from a grossly negligent adipose wad of jiggling insecurities and petty jealousies. Gang of thugs. You know, you see something like that, or all the way back to the guy who referred to General Milley as a traitor, Kurt Schlichter. Would they have the nerve to say that to the face of Joe Biden, or in Schlichter's case, Mark Milley? Do you think they would? Yeah, I saw what you said. Say it to my face. No, right now. Say it to my face. Or that mushmouth who said that Biden ain't even really here. Say it to his face. See if there's any consequences for it. I know. Devoutly to be wished. Then there's representing Mark Green. Apparently, Republicans have recently discovered the fentanyl crisis. They were oblivious to it during the nightmare years of Nitwit Nero, but now suddenly, well, yeah.
Look, every American in our country is at risk for this. You pick up a dollar that's got fentanyl on it, and you're dead.
Really? Because I feel really confident that it doesn't work that way. There are a lot of urban legends about how just breathing the same air as a fentanyl addict can overdose you on the fentanyl. But the sad thing is, Mark Green says that at CPAC, and Emery and Marveline sitting out in the audience. We better get rid of all of our dollar bills, Emery. Yeah, Marveline, I wouldn't want to die of the fentanyl. And then there's the, remember, please, God, I know this is a lot, but this happens every year with CPAC because the whole toxic parade comes out. And the next thing you know, you've got an entire show's worth of material. The clown car pulls into the center ring and a door's open and it's clown after clown after clown after clown. Where are all the clowns coming from? Well, a guy named Tom Homan decided to unburden himself of how much he really did enjoy it when the nitwit Nero administration was pulling babies literally off of their mother's breasts and kidnapping them. But, you know, they're pro-life until they're not.
Lifetime, and I'm sick and tired of hearing about the family separation. And I'm still being sued over that, so come get me. I don't give a shit, right? Bottom line is...
Yeah, I don't give a shit. Stay classy, Tom Homan.
We enforce the law. American families, when I was a cop in New York, and I arrest a father for domestic violence or someone for DUI, I separate that family. When you violate the law with a child, you're going to be separated. But you're right. 250,000 children have crossed this border since Joe Biden's been president. They chose to separate themselves. And the children aren't always children. Lifetime. And
did you catch that? The children aren't always children. There are some children that are worthy of being loved and protected. Some children, though, well, they're Mexican, not children. I think the cat's out of the bag on this. Maybe every time some Republican starts braying about pro-life, this clip ought to be played for him. I mean, this is some fertile ground to work. Rick Skeletor Scott was there. You know, the guy who proposed and sincerely pissed off people like Mitch McConnell doing so, proposed putting Medicare and Social Security on the chopping block. And he brought the good feelings.
Really nice to be here. I love coming to CPAC events. So, welcome to America in the year 2023.
Welcome to the Hall of Presidents. Wait, didn't we get lectured about how Democrats don't like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson? And I guess we can't talk with John Kennedy at all about the whole wealth derived from enslavement problems that sort of follow from those guys. No, that'd be too woke for John Kennedy. Yeah. Welcome to 2023, says the man who was involved with the biggest Medicare fraud, welfare fraud in the history of the United States.
In the year 2023. Where we are destroying the country we love.
Okay, we could probably have a conversation about that. The folks up in East Palestine, Ohio, who sent a dedicated maggot up to represent them, might agree with you. The part of the country where I live that I love is certainly being destroyed on a daily basis. People breathing poisons. And then there's Florida. Ew.
That's what's happening right here in America. We are destroying the country we love. Now, to be clear, it's not you. It's not me. We're not destroying our country.
No, not you, Skeletor. You just want to starve all the old people to death.
It's the President of the United States who's destroying our country. It's a U.S. Senate that is destroying our country.
How? The United States Senate hasn't done anything since the goddamn Clinton administration. Thanks to Addison, Moscow, Mitch, McConnell. And you. And all the other Republicans, too. But see, that there's a thing going on. Whenever a pasty-faced, doughy white Republican starts talking about America, it is a very white America he's talking about. That's why they use coded language like real Americans. And we all know what real means, don't we? Oh, dear, I forgot about that, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon Asa noting, I mean, the children's is not always children. Why, some of them even have calves the size of cantaloupes. That's a reference to Steve King, the Nazi who used to represent a district in Iowa.
It's the news media.
The free press is destroying America. Check.
It's the Democrat Party.
Democratic Party, dipshit.
Academia.
No, it's all them book smart people worrying America. We're ruining America with knowing shit.
Hollywood, Wall Street.
Hollywood and Wall Street are ruining America. Okay, I may be able to get with you on the Wall Street part, but.
And many of our big corporations. That's really nice.
Yeah, big corporations. You know, the ones who give Rick Scott lots and lots of money. Okay, big corporations like ExxonMobil. I'm there for that. Or big, closely held family corporations like Purdue Pharma. I can get down with that. There we go. And of course, it wouldn't be a speech at CPAC if Skeletor Scott didn't have something to say about pronouns. Sorry, he's bringing it up, not me.
Start paying people not to work, so you destroy our country's work ethic. You'd use the Department of Justice, the FBI, the DOJ.
Do you hear the echo? Can you hear the little bit? That's because he's talking to a mostly empty room. And yeah, the only people still paying attention are almost exclusively very old and very white. The very people whose Social Security he wants to destroy. Talk about self-hating.
IRS to target political opponents, just like any good fascist regime would do.
Fascist regime? Do you have a couple backstage there, Rick? Fascist regime? Maybe you had the swirly straw. Funny how the Republicans, you know, the fascists, are the ones who are out there screaming fascism. Wonder why they would do that.
And of course, you'd have to allow our public schools to ignore parents and talk to very young children about sexuality instead of reading, writing, and arithmetic.
No, there's a lot of reading going on. It's just that you want to ban a bunch of the books that some of the kids would like to read there, Rick. Fascist. And no one's talking to very young children about sexuality.
You would stop prosecuting criminals. You wouldn't punish criminals so that crime could become rampant all across the country. You'd make our military leaders wage war on pronouns instead of scaring the crap out of our enemies.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our military is pretty scary. War on pronouns. Kind of makes you wonder if Rick Scott knows what a pronoun is. Imagine that, referring to women with she and her, and guys with he and him. And it's bringing down America. But these are the things that they insist on campaigning on. They're trash. Just trash. I feel sorry for anybody who actually had to sit there and cover that garbage. Or even sit at home and monitor it like Aaron Rupar did. Aaron Rupar on Twitter is amazing. If you don't follow him, at A.T. Rupar. He's one of the most dedicated sources of quality content and keeping up with the maggots. So, and I guess probably there will be more tomorrow. Oh, joy. But in the meantime, some email. This is really weird. There it is. Okay. Going back to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, it was weird. I wasn't getting email there for a minute. Looking at that face, Darlene notes, someone said Cruz looks like a melted candle. Yeah, but only one of those old-school ones that's made of, like, grimy beef fat. Oh, that's good. Dave number 11, Cruz and the Eagles concert. You can't hide your lying eyes. Yeah, no singing. We got $300 to go fundraising. Theo said, regarding legislators and anti-trans bills, they think they're experts. Why? This infuriates me on very personal grounds, Theo says. These legislating fools, yeah, literally, don't understand the medical impacts of taking trans people or intersex adolescents off their necessary meds. I spent decades dealing with medical billing, doctor's reports, and other such paperwork at a medical insurance company, and read some wrenching correspondence concerning medications and payments denied or questioned by insurance examiners. This legislation brainlessly overturns decades of painfully worked out protocols based only on bigotries and the crassest of electoral gambits. Sorry, I know you know all this. Well, I do, but I appreciate you bringing that perspective because I hadn't thought of it in that regard. Theo, excuse me. I hadn't thought of it that way. But yeah, this is it. It is a very complex machine. And they're destroying it. Just to watch it burn. And that's... that's horrifying. And lest you think it only applies to people like me, or young people like me, this is a starting place. At some point in time, everybody they don't like will fall under the same toxic rubric. Everybody. Everybody. Anyway, couple of folks on the line, but I wanted to, now that we're at the halfway mark of the program, wanted to make sure we get to the Green News Report. And we'll go to the phones after that. Okay? Remember, like and subscribe, y'all. Every time I say that, Brother Deacon Asa smiles a little bigger. Like and subscribe on the podcast. Mash that tune in the like heart button, please.
It's Thursday, March 2, 2023.
Well, the historic string of storms drenched the state and have many wondering whether our drought could soon be over.
Nope. Despite a series of major storms, California's historic drought continues.
Norfolk Southern and the other freight rail companies need to stop fighting us.
Nope. Railroad industry already fighting new safety regulations in the wake of the Ohio derailment disaster. Plus,
record warmth across several states in the U.S. has caused trees and plants to bloom weeks ahead of schedule.
Bizarre weather continues as parts of U.S. see earliest spring conditions on record.
Earliest spring, it's freezing out here in California. All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Weather Channel.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Dizzy Doyen, I don't know what you global warming people did, but whatever you're doing, it must be working because it is freezing out here in California.
Well, I'm sorry that you don't like the cold weather.
I don't like it one bit. As a matter of fact, I've been in Southern California 30 years. It has never been this cold. So whatever you did, knock it off.
Okay. Well, on to our top story. A string of major atmospheric rivers have nearly filled several of California's major reservoirs, and a couple of rare blizzards have helped push California's snowpack to nearly twice its normal levels. The unexpected bounty of water amid the deepest drought in the state in 1,200 years has prompted state and federal water managers to increase their expected allocation of water to the state's agriculture industry in 2023.
Good news.
However, experts say it will take more than a series of storms to make up for years of deficits.
No.
Here's Andrew Schwartz of the UC Berkeley Snow Lab.
We've gone from extreme and exceptional to kind of a moderate status, and that continues to shrink. We're not at a point yet where we can declare all of our drought over. We need to be able to conserve water and keep moving forward as though we don't have plenty of water. And every drop saved now will be available when we do have a shortage.
And there's also the danger that spring heat waves will trigger a fast melt of the snowpack. And that could cause those reservoirs to overflow, bringing a whole different set of problems. Hydrology experts warn that California and other western states continue to use more water than nature provides, especially as climate change is fueling a long-term drying trend.
Isn't that just like you? We get all of this rain after this longest ever drought, and you're still complaining about it.
And spring has already sprung in the U.S. thanks to a much warmer than normal winter.
Not here.
With scientists reporting early budding of flowers and trees in numerous locations, calling it, quote, another sign of climate change playing out in real time. Parts of Texas, Arkansas, Ohio, Maryland, and New York are all reporting their earliest spring conditions on record. Washington, D.C.'s iconic cherry trees are already starting to bloom. The date for peak bloom is likely to be among the earliest in history this year for the annual Cherry Blossom Festival on March 20th. That's due in part to the hard work of festival sponsor Chevron, whose profits doubled last year.
Oh, man.
Since 1970, spring has warmed in virtually all of the hundreds of U.S. locations that were analyzed by climate data firm Climate Central. The Southwest has experienced the largest increase. Average spring temperatures are 6 to 7 degrees Fahrenheit warmer in the Southwest than in the 1970s. And spring is not only warming, but arriving earlier, stressing water supplies in the West and extending the allergy season across the country.
Well, that's nothing to sneeze at.
In the Ohio train derailment disaster, House Democrats on Tuesday unveiled a bill to tighten regulations for trains transporting hazardous materials. But The Lever reports that the rail industry is already fighting new safety rules announced by Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg last week. The industry's main lobbying group, the Association of American Railroads, this week said the government should delay the rulemaking process until after all investigations of the derailment are completed, and demanded that any new regulations only, quote, directly address the cause of this particular accident and nothing else. And you may see a new ad campaign by the railroad lobby group burnishing its image to stave off accountability through regulations.
Well, don't worry about that. The Republicans are really upset about what happened in Ohio. I'm sure they're going to make sure that railroad industry gets regulated like it should be.
In a related note, the Ohio train derailment disaster has also intensified efforts by environmental groups to halt a Trump administration rule that was pushed by the railroad industry, allowing the bulk transport of explosive liquefied natural gas by rail.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Finally, a bit of good news. The massive city of Tokyo, Japan, will make rooftop solar panels mandatory for all new homes starting in 2025.
I like it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Let's go up on a roof.
Sorry about the dead air, but, going back to fentanyl on money, Lee in New York says, of course fentanyl on currency will not kill you, but paper, really cloth money, is not clean. Signed, Lee, willing to take those dirty bills off your hands in New York City. And Christopher from the ad hoc parody songwriting department, writing Jefferson Starship, going back to Tommy the Tuber. Sports built this country. Sports built this country. Sports built this country on sporting balls. Sports built this country. Sports built this country on sporting balls. Say you don't know stuff. Lasers in space. All maggots got yourselves the most punchable face. More workshopping required. Well played, Christopher. Is that our first cowbell of the evening? Anyway, let's go over to the phone lines. Let's check in real quick with, let's just check in with Scott. You there, Scott?
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I am not well at all.
Well, you know, I had a note from a listener saying, have you heard anything from Scott? I haven't heard from Scott. What's wrong?
Well, I don't know. Part of it was being real busy getting the place ready for the housing guy to come by, and you know, with his clipboard and everything, and that went okay, and that was like Tuesday, and I don't know whether I overexerted myself or was too stressed out or whatever, but I feel like something the cat drug in. So I've been taking it easy today, you know, snoozing a lot in the recliner. And the last thing I remember hearing was on, I guess, the audio of MSNBC talking about, what's it called, CPAC?
Yeah.
And I dozed off to that. I mean, that's how much interest I have in it. So I was a little late tuning into you, and then you picked up the gauntlet. And I said, oh, God, is there no respite for me?
I can't get away from it.
You know?
No escape. Yeah. Resistance is futile.
One of those original Twilight Zone episodes where I'm a teeny tiny person, you know, in a, what is that one where the guy comes from space or comes from somewhere, and it turns out that it's like an abandoned world. And after some inspection, he finds out it's not a totally real abandoned world. And the payoff, and I'm sure since we're talking about a show that premiered in 1959. This one, if this is a spoiler, then you don't get out enough. You need to goodbye.
Well, you got to think about Gen Z. They're like, what?
Well, anyway. So anyway, the
I love Gen Z, by the way.
Isn't that a supplement? The Oreo.
No. That's not the stuff that's made out of like octopus pancreases or jellyfish ovaries. No.
Ginseng.
Oh no, ginseng. Anyway. Yeah, ginseng.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, you got to keep up with me, Robin. I mean, I'm on a bad.
You don't make it easy.
I guess I don't. But so anyway, the payoff on the thing is the little girl, you know, thanks her daddy for, the daddy comes into the room and she's got the real man, the little miniature man in her hand. And she says, don't handle your pet. Put him back in the house. So she puts him back in the dollhouse and fade to black or whatever. Anyway, you would have to have been there.
I get it.
So in answer to your question, fine, thanks.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're feeling poorly. But, well, you know, you're just kind of run down. That's a big difference from not being able to get around.
Well, I can still get around after a fashion, but.
Did you get back, anyway, based on our last conversation, did you get back with your doctor?
Did I get back with my doctor? No, the last time we talked, I guess I was talking about the shitty medicine that he gave me that I...
The gabapentin that you don't want to take, right.
Yeah, no, I'm... I was going to wait until after my housing thing was done and then call the insurance people and either go back and see him and actually see him and not the nurse practitioner or whoever that woman was. And if I can't get cooperation from him, I'll just contact the insurance people and choose another primary physician.
That, or you could always check out that pain clinic.
Or the pain clinic, yeah. I mean, it's nice to have a doctor who is just literally two or three blocks away. But if you can't, if there's no communication and you're on different wavelengths or you've got to talk to a flunky or something, I mean, what's the point? And I don't mean to diminish the qualifications of the nurse practitioner, but this last appointment I had, I thought would be with a doctor to specifically talk about medicines and refills, you know. And I should have had better sense than just sit there. I should have said, well, you know, no offense to you, lady, but I came here to talk to the doctor. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's still an issue.
It's only because I had other shit going on that I needed to, you know, that was of a timely nature and, you know, stuff. You know how it is.
I do, to a certain extent, yeah.
So anyway, now this CPAC thing, what does it go through the weekend?
Yeah, tomorrow and Saturday. I guess Saturday the keynote will be, what was he? What did you? The demented circus peanut.
Yes. The God Almighty. People are irretrievably stupid. Willfully. Eyes wide open. And I mean, in a way, that's good. I mean, if the Republicans think that that's a winning strategy, let them think that a while longer.
Well, apparently, I got another story here you might find interesting. It makes me wonder if Joe Manchin wants to be a senator anymore, you know, because he's up next year.
Yeah, did you allude to the fact that he might be running for the big job?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I think at one point in time he wanted to be vice presidential, but too many skeletons.
Okay, well,
it's not a good look when your own brother sues you for ripping him off of a couple of million dollars. That happened a few years back. Now, Joe, to the Manchin born, has declared that, he might be open. And see, so-called entitlement programs have been a fetish object for him. for at least the last 20 years. He thinks that taking care of the citizenry is somehow going to bankrupt America. And so now he has said that he might be open to cutting Social Security and Medicare, but not for anybody who's still getting it, just for, like, my generation.
That's still not a good idea. It's not even close to a good idea. It's not within hailing distance of a good idea.
He said, I just think, is there a better program? Is there a better way younger people can invest and have something for retirement? You have to look at everything. How do you sustain what you have? Yes, bringing the penny-pinching sentiments of a coal broker to the existential questions of how people manage to have something resembling dignity in their old age. Sure, you bet. But this is what they did to my generation back in 1986. I've been paying attention for a very long, as I know you have. You've got a few years on me, but you've been paying attention. I've been paying attention, and then it was 1986 when old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, rolled up his shirt sleeves with Tip O'Neill, and they said, "Well, we can't fuck the people who are getting it now. So why don't we fuck the people who are going to get it 40 years from now?" Because, I was like 23.
And what exactly was the rationale for that? Because the Social Security being modified and tweaked in a positive way over the years since it was established has always done a fairly decent job of doing what it's supposed to do.
Yes, it does, and does so at massively lower administrative costs than any mutual fund. And of course, that's where Joe Manchin's going. Why don't we just let them put it on the stock market and play roulette with it? And then they won't have a retirement to have to worry about, and maybe they'll kill themselves when the stock market crashes. How's that? I mean, it's already bad enough for me. I just celebrated my 60th birthday. Under the previous rules, I could have started collecting a reduced amount at 62 or full benefits at 65. Well, now I got to wait till I'm 67, thanks to Tipper and Ronnie.
For what bracket? Full or partial?
Now, I'm not entirely sure. 67 might be partial. I'm not sure. Maybe I have to wait till I'm 70 for full benefits, but at least I still get Medicare at 65.
Yeah.
Such as it is.
Well, see, and here's the problem. There are certain things that, and yes, none of the founding fathers or any of the paperwork involved with the founding of the country, they didn't talk about Social Security using that terminology or Medicare or any of that, Medicaid, any of that. They didn't use the verbiage, but within the spirit of the founding documents, it could be inferred or implied or assumed or whatever the word might be, that part of being a country that works positively and appropriately for all people, at least theoretically, for everybody concerned, you come up with these notions. You find a, who was it, old Zig Ziglar, if you remember that motivation.
Oh God, yes.
Used to about finding a need and filling it or whatever, or solving problems creatively and all that. That's pretty much all that Roosevelt did. And he wasn't the first person to come up with an idea like Social Security. Over time, there were several presidents or at least political leaders who looked at it and tried to get something going. As I recall, I'm not encyclopedic today, but you get what I mean.
I do.
And it's like ever since you know, that meeting of the minds between old Reagan and old Tip. I don't know. I wonder if I should even say this, but I kind of wonder if maybe they didn't rely on Thomas P. O'Neill's admiration for strong drink and got him to do something that maybe he wouldn't have otherwise done. Well, do you get what I mean?
They got him liquored up. Yeah.
Yeah, Tip, come on over here. Yeah, get away from that 28-cent Republican bar of scotch that they're serving up there in the congressional club. Come on down.
Yeah, bring the good stuff.
Yeah, well, and you know, but the whole notion of Reagan wanting to do anything, even pretend beneficial for anybody, is such a laughable thought. And I don't know. Apparently they don't. If CPAC is any indication, from what I know of it, these last few years it has happened. Reagan, they've taken down the big statues and photos and, you know, posters of Reagan. He doesn't seem to be their god anymore. Or am I missing something?
Well, no, he is for some of them, but for this new crop, you know, the real dead end, hard case, cancerous maggot gang, yeah. Reagan wouldn't be allowed in their club.
Well, he wouldn't.
He wouldn't be allowed to play their reindeer games.
Oh, well. Then, one foggy Christmas Eve. Did you hear this already? Santa came to say. Anyway, go ahead. I'm not going to be good old Christmassy here.
Ronnie, with your hair so black.
Tip with your nose so red.
Yeah, Tipper with your nose so red.
Help me find my fucking sled.
Okay, that
Ronnie
works.
The Reagan president. Had your shiny hair. Anyway, I just, goddamn, I wish. Well, I'm feeling better now that I'm.
I can hear you perking up even as we speak.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came today. Anyway, I haven't had any coffee for like 2 days. I don't know whether, could I be getting an ulcer? I just don't know. I'm just, and it's you know how when you have a flu or something like that, you feel something coming on. And you dance with it a while, and sooner or later it'll pass. And maybe it's the stress. It could, because I wasn't at all prepared for this housing thing this time around.
Was it like more intense?
No. I just played a lot of catch up, getting things, you know, straightened up and pitched and sorted and all that. And I think I just tried to do too much in too short a time. And was stressed out about it or something. I don't know.
Well, I just got a note. There's somebody on the stress line, and I just found out who the stress line is. Who's on the stress line? It's Scary Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Robin. Hey, Scott. I'm glad to hear you breathing, Scott. I worry about you when I don't hear from you.
Oh, hi. Mm-hmm. Jerry, how are you? Your phone sounds really different today.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're in a barrel.
All right, let me fix that. Everybody? How about now? Good?
Ever so much better.
Yeah, that's way better.
It's my Bluetooth. It sounds good. It sounds good to hear, but not to talk on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like Bluetooth and speaker phones are the enemy of all talk radio.
But they're so convenient. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. And so, in point of fact, I'm actually, you know, that's the hilarity of it all. You're connected into the board by Bluetooth, but it works on this end.
Yeah,
But for the little speakers, the Bluetooth earpieces and stuff, no, it's death to talk radio.
Oh, you're packetized. That's why the Bluetooth would add in too many latencies, if you think about it.
Very likely, possibly.
Scott, I want to hear you finish that song. I want you to hear. Have you ever done jingles, Scott?
You
got a skill for that.
Hold on just a minute.
Jingles. There he is.
Yeah, Rob. No, I've never. I don't think I've ever done jingles before. I've done writing for commercials every so often, promos and things. But
you got the jingle. The jingle thing. They roll right off you, and all the circuits are still firing. You know, the funny thing is the situation that Scott's going through, to where they're giving him pain pills one at a time, and then they're complaining about fentanyl. It's the same fucking story. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, very much so.
It's the same story. I don't think police should be drug experts, okay? And I don't think Republican congressmen should medical stuff. I really don't. They're not qualified, and their heart's not in the right place. Yet they're telling trans people you can't take this, and they're telling women you can't do that. And I don't know what to do, because there was just a thing. House Democrats got together and said, "Hey, maybe we should kick Fox out of the White House press corps." I'm like, "Y'all should disband Fox." The fuck? If the situation was reversed, if it was like TYT or something like that, they would be hung up. All the heads would be on a pike, lined up.
No, what's this about the White House press corps? You were muffled up. I couldn't figure out what you said.
Fox, the Democrats are still trying to figure out if they should be mean to Fox.
I didn't even know that was a debate.
Yeah.
I know. Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, has been making Peter Ducey's life miserable. She has no respect for him whatsoever, and makes it abundantly clear.
I need curse words at this point. I really do, man. I mean, they ran up on the Capitol, and we don't have 4-letter words yet. I got so much to talk about too. I watched, I'm still in season 2 of Picard, and I was following it on Reddit, and they're complaining that Star Trek is woke. That's why I called it. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, dear God.
What the flying fuck? Star Trek invented woke. What the fuck, yo? Woke is Star Trek jam. Will we dream about a better place?
Well, Star Trek, I mean, I don't even like the term, because it's so far from what it was originally coined to mean. Star Trek has always been forward-looking.
Always. With the black and white people, the white and black people, Uhura and Kirk kissing. It's just, with an android having human rights, they were complaining it's too, and I'm like, that's why they didn't like Discovery. It's the black people.
Yeah, very likely.
That's it, because Discovery's a great show. A little light on the writing, but it looked great. A couple of edibles, some snacks in front of you. Discovery was a great watch. I may start over again. But no, they're gooning on Picard because it's woke. I'm like, oh, wow. And I had to stop watching it because Brent Spiner rolled up to be the first iteration of Soon, Dr. Soon. And I'm like, I got to stop. I got to start this from the beginning because Brent Spiner showed up. This is important.
No, Brent Spiner?
But nope. Yeah.
Yeah.
As himself. The only uncomfortable thing, I was like, wow, these guys got sold. And I go, they did this in the 90s. I'm like, holy shit, that's been 40 years. Yeah, man. Are you exercising, Scott? Hello? Is that Lucy?
Scott?
No, I had the thing on mute while you were talking, and I had to reach over and get the phone. No, I've never been an exerciser. I do walk you know, when I'm running my errands or going to the bus and to and from the bus, to and from the bus to the office or the store or whatever. But as far as a, you know, a regular exercise routine, I don't.
We need you around. We might do a West Coast Hornet, and you know, you need to be alive and kicking.
Yeah, and Tom up in sunny San Rafael, several hours north of you, said, "Yeah, I was worried about Scott too, but really, Scott, drink some coffee. Withdrawal is a real thing."
Oh, I know.
Yeah, drink some. I'm going to make some coffee too, just to commemorate you.
It's not like I'm not getting caffeine because I've still got my sodi pop. But
there's more in coffee than caffeine now. There's other stuff going on.
It's just a matter of getting back into a the swing of things, and it's sort of like a carryover from, you remember when I was in the care center because of, after having my fall and having the trouble with the leg and everything, I told you it was taking me a while to get back into a routine. And then now another wrench has been thrown into my usual lackadaisical. Is that how you say it? Lackadaisical?
Lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical.
Thank you. Okay. Well, anyway.
But you're in California. That works. The West Coast pronunciation works.
The thing was, I get back and pulled together from after the care center experience. And then I'm presented with a new challenge, get the place ready for my, my housing thing. So maybe now that I've been over these two humps, things will, get off into an even keel where there are not any more major obligations to deal with. Not that I'm an irresponsible person. I'm probably on some levels more responsible than I ought to be sometimes, but I'm not used to dealing with deadlines and pressure. When you get out of the work environment and that sort of thing, and you roll with the flow long enough, those muscles go into disuse. And that could be part of it. I mean, it's a multifaceted thing, I'm sure, but I don't know.
Scott.
Yes.
I have some liberal stuff to report. Totally nothing to do with politics. I hope you guys can carry along. I have a new roommate and she's Colombian, and I'm hopelessly smitten with her. And it's going great. And I was just thinking about the attraction. Well, I was thinking about all these incels who chime in, and most of their political impetus is based on the fact that they're terrible talking to women. Where as a liberal, I'm going, okay, what are vegan Italian meals that I can cook for this person? Because we had a conversation. She goes, I hate to cook. I go, I love to cook. And then just my mind started going like a supercomputer on what I could cook for this person and how to seduce her with food.
From a vegan standpoint, obviously the Alfredo sauce is out. But
no, I can dip and dive. If I don't have to kill an animal or see its face, I can include animal parts.
Okay, so
no actual.
Yeah, a really good Alfredo, if you can do cheese and cream, nothing like it.
Oh yeah, I can do cheese and cream. Really, I got to get my Alfredo. I was thinking something more. I've been mentally toying with the lasagna.
Vegetarian lasagna is fantastic. You just have to come up with
I'm going to put a couple of fake meats in there too, just to, just to keep it what they call it. And
is there eggplant in vegetarian lasagna?
Yes. Eggplant's hard though.
I don't like, no thanks. You can have mine, Robin.
I love
eggplant. Eggplant's hard mode.
Well, eggplant parmesan, please.
I was, there's so many things I was thinking about. But here's the point. We're all having a liberal conversation. This is how liberals do it, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to force myself on her, scream over her, you know, listen to her broken English and go, why don't you speak English, damn it? We adapt and we charm. We got that charm thing going on. And they hate us for it. They don't, it's like a dog playing checkers. These kind. I got that off of Scott with the monkey with the
yeah,
visor.
That's exactly where my mind went. You know, the monkey doing arithmetic.
With the pen in its mouth.
With the armband.
Pen in its mouth.
Yeah, the arm garters, the little green visor, the pencil, and the tongue.
Little pig monkey.
Old school adding machine with the crank, yeah.
That perked me right up.
And when you were playing the CPAC clips, I was going, there's no policy. It's fucking snowing in California. How come nobody's talking about that? People are starting to drop dead in Ohio right now. They're sick right now. People go, what did Joe Biden show up? I go, because he's old. I don't want Joe Biden in that shit. I'm honest. I don't want him in there. He has a cancer gene, too? No. I'd have been cool with Joe Biden flying over there in a helicopter with a gas mask on. They set that shit on fire. There, I'm hearing, yes. And this was on Joe Rogan.
And I don't know. I don't know. You listened to Joe Rogan?
Well, it was a 7-minute clip, and he was talking about it. And first he tried to push the conservative, but he's such a conservative now. He tried to push the conservative meme. Then he found out, Obama that wanted the real breaks and Trump that took them off. And he's like, he started talking about there's deer lying around dead. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, that's a large mammal. This is a problem.
Yeah. Well, see, so this is the latest breaking news on East Palestine. The EPA has now ordered Norfolk Southern. And if I never hear another member of the multimillionaire for-profit media say Norfolk, it will be too soon. Scott, doggone it, it's Norfolk, okay? You don't have to make a big deal. Nobody thinks you're saying a dirty word. It's Norfolk.
No, Norfolk High School had the cheer. Do you know the cheer?
I do.
Norfolk High School?
We
don't smoke.
Norfolk.
We don't drink, we don't smoke, Norfolk.
Yes.
There you go. That's how I keep things straight in my head from cheers and jingles. But go ahead. What are they doing now?
Well, I mean, this is telling and this is horrifying. The EPA is now ordering Norfolk Southern to test for dioxins. Because dioxins can form through the combustive process in the aftermath of the derailment.
I hadn't thought about that.
The skin, the hairs on the back of my neck, when they had the chemical breakdown of what was there, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And when they said, we're setting it on fire, I was like, don't do that. There's certain things that
What was in the tanks to start with? What was in the tank cars? The chemical?
Vinyl chloride.
Vinyl chloride. So if you had benzene pressure to something like that, even a basic chemistry student's got to know there's going to be changes occurring.
Nothing that breaks down to a heat is good to... it's super toxic. Everybody's getting sick from 50 miles around. And nobody's covering it other than go, where's Joe Biden? He's saving the fucking world from World War III, you dumb fuck. That Trump started, that Trump greased the rails on, you motherfuckers. And nobody's saying that. I'm tired of this. This Trump's whole election was because of Ukraine. The whole motherfucking thing. From him coming down the elevator in 2015 to him playing with the javelins and going, no, I'm not giving you javelins unless you tell me about it. The whole thing, and nobody can see it. Nobody can put it together. I wish Joe Biden would open his mouth. But speeding right along, they need to hang this around the Republican throat because they talk about it and they're giving us all the judo points and just go on and on and on. Hey, somebody should go, no, you know what they need? They need a tax cut. That's what they need. That's what I would do.
There we are.
I would lambast with them.
I mean, if you're a Republican, there's nothing that doesn't fix.
A tax cut doesn't fix this? All right, you know what they need? You know what Ohio's problem is? They need to cut their deficit. Careful. And I just put in the panic like that. Life is beautiful. Anyways,
Robin?
Yes, Scott.
My little memory ears perked up when you were talking about dioxin. And I couldn't remember the name of the place in Missouri. I think it was in the east side of Missouri. Times Beach.
Yes.
Remember where they took the dusty dirt roads and covered them with a combination of oil and, it turns out, dioxin.
Sure, yeah.
Chemicals. And that was, I mean, that's probably still a no-go zone.
Yeah,
that stuff doesn't go
and
away.
I've been.
It doesn't go away. I've been thinking. No biological activity.
I'm trying to think if Love Canal was Love Canal PCBs or dioxin.
I was back. It was, and I'm, this is before my time, but just I follow chemical disasters.
Love Canal
course.
Was. It was a cocktail of stuff, because it was basically a dumping ground that nobody thought anybody would be foolish enough to cover it up and build housing next to it. As I recall, it's been a while, but that's my memory of it.
Let's see.
This is worse than Chernobyl, 3 Mile Island. This is worse than 3 Mile Island because there was no mitigation. They set it on fire. And let it waste with a strong western wind. I've been there.
Let's see. Love Canal, miscellaneous acid chlorides other than benzoyl, thionyl chloride, miscellaneous chlorination, naphthalenes, aniline. Looking to try trichlorophenol, benzoyl chlorides, benzo trichlorides, metal chlorides, liquid disulfides, hexachlorocyclohexane, chlorobenzenes, benzo chlorides.
Cyclohexane. Yeah. Benzene and polyvinyl. That happened when I was
carbon tetrachloride, chloroform. What didn't they dump at Love Canal? Oh, and there, yeah, polychlorinated biphenyls, that's your PCBs. There's your dioxin. Dioxin was there, too.
There were PCBs on the train, too. And they didn't burn it. And they're going.
Go, Scott. Hold on, Jerry.
Chemicals are passing. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. I can rant.
It's not like Love Canal and now this derailment in Ohio and. What was the thing with the Scientologist actor that was on Welcome Back, Kotter, dancer, Saturday Night Fever?
Oh, John Travolta.
John Travolta.
The movie that he was in about threats to the environment through chemistry, and then the one about. The Los Angeles area, I mean, east of Los Angeles, the lady, shit, I can't think of her name. She was in the...
Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich, like, yeah.
It's not like these things are isolated occasions. It's like every year there's some horror show where some corporate
every
decides that they dump
week.
Their shit somewhere. Yeah, I mean it's and can't can't there be limits on this stuff? I mean, it doesn't seem like, and even something like the EPA has become so defanged.
Neutered.
At least that was their intention. Neutered, yeah. Snipped right off. We got them in a drawer.
I wish the DA and EPA would switch roles to where, you know, we never hear from the DA and the EPA is kicking in doors. And the stars are lining up. That's weird. I don't know. And on to Florida. I just talked to my almost 5-year-old granddaughter. She's watching her show on YouTube, and she's going, "I'm watching my show." And the coolest thing I've ever heard. And she's going to school in Florida. Me and my daughter are going back and forth where she's going to school. And a couple of things we brought up is I brought up is not a public school. Has to be a religious school, mainly because I don't want her to get shot, to be honest, and to have a better education. What fucking Ron DeSantis is doing in education is deplorable.
Criminal?
Is the only word.
Criminal?
Yeah. And I'm glad the kids in Iowa are jumping up and down. And you're right. I love Generation Z as well, because they don't give a fuck. They have no fucks to give, as their crowd is saying. And they have all the information, or most of the information, in front of them, and they can detect manipulation. In other words, they know when you're full of shit.
Yeah.
So that's why they're trying to shut them all down. I mean, conservative shit is past its expiration date, and that's what they're pushing against. That's it. Their shit ain't selling. So, you know, they're trying to take colors out the rainbow, as it were. Yeah, that's it. Or even admit that a rainbow exists. It's all, and no policy. Nothing to talk about how we're going to go up 2 degrees centigrade. We're going to overshoot. Nothing about all the plastic. Nothing about all the manatees that are fucking dying because of starvation. That's an apex predator. And I know the term predator is not thoroughly appropriate, because they predate on greenery, on foliage. But once again, a large mammal. Large mammal dying are big red flares, red flags. Our water's still fucked up, and we're going to go all red tide again in a month or so. And nobody's talking about that. Let's talk about people's pee-pees. Jesus Christ. I'm so done with it all. Nothing gets done. Nothing. The only thing important is the debt and where people go to the bathroom.
Well, because that's what maggots care about, Jerry. That's what they care about. George just asked a question. Wasn't there a dump near St. Louis that had or still has nuclear waste that they couldn't put out?
Yep, there is. There was a fire there recently, I heard, too.
That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of
fire, still have our garbage fire here. Our garbage fire is still going on here.
Go ahead, Scott.
Up in Pennsylvania, there's an underground fire that's been going.
Yeah, it's an old coal mine, and they can't put it out.
Yeah, it's been going for like 50 years.
Centralia.
I forget the name of the place. But
Centralia, maybe?
Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Centralia, yeah. I think so. Yeah, it's just an abandoned town. Oh, and back to what you were talking about for just a second, Scott. There's a right wing conniption underway. The maggots are terribly, terribly, terribly upset at the Hershey Corporation.
You're kidding, the chocolate bar people.
Yeah.
Now, what possible thing could the chocolate bar people do or not do that's going to get their panties in a twist?
Well, you may have used the operative word there, panties, because up in Canada, Canada was celebrating International Women's Day, or they are celebrating International Women's Day on March 8th, and they're releasing 5 limited edition Her for She chocolate bars. See what they did there? Her for She. Mm-hmm. And one, and they feature 5 women on the label. One of the women they feature is Faye Johnstone. And she is a co-owner and executive director and a Canadian of the Canadian consulting firm Wisdom to Action. And they are queer, trans, and a feminist activist. And so now, I guess, Alabama, which, by the way, will open its legislature on March the 7th, Alabama will probably pass a bill banning, I don't know, Hershey bars in the Camellia state. They're just so dainty and so delicate.
What a fucking world.
I know.
I mean, Jesus. If you can't have something as basic and decent as a Hershey's Kiss or a chocolate bar.
Oh, there you guys go.
With or without nuts, it doesn't matter. I'm open-minded. What's the fucking country coming to? And here's the problem. Getting back, Jerry was talking about CPAC a little while ago. It's not just CPAC. It's the whole Republican organization. These people cannot relax. They are always on edge or on guard or something.
Right, because that's a powerful motivator.
Dopamine, man. Dopamine.
It's all an illusion.
Well, what else do they have? What do they have but vitriol?
And remember, they're mad at Hershey bars now. 3 weeks ago, they were mad at M&M's. Angry at candy. That's. I mean,
you know what?
And this is that. This is such a long litany. I mean, again, I'll say it. I was just a little baby pimply faced gospel DJ when Donald Wildman was paying for airtime at WBTG. We barely talk good, and delivering sermons on the evils of Bugs Bunny.
I hope you know this means war.
And then 3 years later, or maybe a little bit more, there's Jerry Falwell inveighing against the Teletubbies.
Winky and Tinky. And
Tinky Winky. No, Tinky Winky. Tinky Winky in particular, because Tinky Winky was purple.
And you know the queers like the color purple. And there's a triangle on Tinky Winky's head, and that triangle is the symbol of homosexuality, in the name of Jesus.
There was something in the
I
saw the headline, speaking of the Teletubbies, that Jerry Falwell apparently was overwrought about the wrong Tinky Wink or Winky Tink or Dinky Dink.
Tinky Winky was one of the Teletubbies, yes, the purple one.
It was the purple Teletubby with the triangle and the rainbow.
Right, and carried a purse.
I'm going to Google this to see if I'm remembering correctly, because it was something I saw just recently.
Oh, where'd you go, Scott?
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up, and then I'll tell you about it when I find it. Are you there?
Yeah, we're all here.
How many shows did Tucker do on, and I gotta admit, Green M&M in the go-go boots was hot, okay, for candy, but that's a 2-minute bit. He did a week on that, really? This is what y'all talking about?
Really?
I forget who it was, but I saw a clip speaking because these are such ignorant little freaks. It was some right wing blatherfest, and they were braying and bleating and barking and grunting about East Palestine because all of a sudden they care about railroad safety. And whoever the woman was that was on the show said, well, yeah, okay, so where are all these environmentalists now? Where's Erin Brockovich? I mean, they made a movie about her. Where's she? And the host, to his credit, said, well, Erin Brockovich is on the ground in East Palestine, Ohio. And I kid you not, the woman replied, yeah, but where's Julia Roberts?
Wow.
Because, you know, Julia Roberts is the real Erin Brockovich.
I like Julia. I'd buy Julia Roberts an ice cream. I'll fully admit that.
There are these...
Only one?
There are these people... There are... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't there these people who are called actors?
Why, yes.
Who read these printed publications called scripts.
Yes.
And they're for television shows, movies... And on stage performances, and they read these scripts and they're stories basically, and people tell the stories on the stage or on the screen, and it's like a pretend, it's like a dress up thing, it's like, let's take a piece of history and reenact it for a modern audience, and you be George Washington and you be Martha Washington and you be Thomas Jefferson. And you being whoever that guy was, they don't seem to get the concept. I mean, you've got to play along with the, you know, with the rest of us here. These are,
well, you know, movie. You know, Trump did play a businessman on TV, and I think that's, you know, I do think there was a voting machine hack, but him being on that what was the name of that show? The Apprentice. That got molested. People were like, he's not. I was like, oh, wow. So,
I used to watch that show in the first couple of years that it was on when it was just civilians. I don't know whether I didn't know any better or whatever the hell was going on, but there was some entertainment value to it initially. And then they
who's the entertaining as shit? I wish he was back on TV. He's entertaining as shit. He really is. I mean, he's charismatic. He's funny. He is. You don't want him anywhere near government. I'm talking even a building permit. But, yeah, he is entertaining. And off script, he's, which I really can't wait for the debate between him and DeSantis.
I don't want Trump anywhere near anything. Confine him, even if they've got to get one of those on parole bracelets, a monitor, an anklet for him. And as long as he stays down at Mar-a-Lago greeting the visitors who are dumb enough to stay there, but take away his TV privileges, take away all of his privileges except being the official greeter down in Mar-a-Lago, and that's fine. I
want him to have to call a judge to play golf. That's what I want. For his, you know, as in terms of his probation.
I want to take a minute with this. Trump is beatable. He's already been beaten in two presidential elections, but by operation of an antiquated constitutional provision that's based on racism, he got to be president for 4 years. But as Paul Granny Starver Eddie Munster Ryan pointed out, we lost with him in 20, we lost with him in 2022, and we'll lose with him again in 24.
I don't think he won Florida in 2016. I really don't.
Well, but here's the point. Here's the point. Here's the point. Let's stay out of the weeds for a second. Here's the point.
Okay. Stay off the weed. What?
No.
Anyway, go ahead.
Stop it, you. he's beatable. Monkey up might not be.
If you attack him, nobody attacked him. DeSantis is beatable because he hates being interrupted or challenged on anything.
So the thing, you might actually want Nitwit Nero in 24.
Yeah, you do. I've thought about this for weeks. Because he's ineffective, and he'll just be on his vengeance vendetta tour. DeSantis is a fucking Nazi. He really is. And he's a smart Nazi.
Yeah, he's dangerous because he would actually... He's shown a brutal willingness to use naked political power in Florida. And if he gets a Republican House and a Republican Senate, Katie bar the door.
But get your passport and climb into the catapult.
I mean, at that point in time, people like me have to start thinking about looking for asylum in other countries.
Yeah, we're all going to Canada. If they'll take us. I heard they got their own fascist things going on right now. Maybe we'll be all going to Cuba. I don't know.
Spain? I don't know.
I'm feeling Spain lately. They have all the World Seed Banks, I found out.
Spain's one of the most liberal countries in Europe right now.
Yeah, yeah.
For what it's worth. Yeah. But I wanted to share something with you guys. I have a great clip today. It's a couple of days old, but it is of Jamie Raskin, who is still doing his job despite going through cancer treatments. He's wearing a kerchief now that apparently some Republicans have grumbled and griped about.
I wish he'd wear a dashiki. Not a dashiki. You know the ethnic hat? I wish he'd wear one of those.
Well, this is pretty close, and I think this is the one that Stephen Van Zandt, you know, from The Sopranos and from the E Street Band, little Stephen, gave to him. And it's terribly, terribly hip. But he took apart... By implication, he took apart Lauren Bobblehead Boobert Clanny Oakley a couple of days ago, and this is one for the ages. Make sure I want to get it all.
Chew it up, Robert.
Here we go.
The prior president, who may be a favorite of the gentle ladies. I also wanted to make just a brief semantic point, because the gentle lady was making a grammatical error that I heard some of her colleagues make before. I believe she referred to a Democrat solution. I heard another member talk about a Democrat member and a Democrat plan. I just wanted to educate our distinguished colleagues that Democrat is the noun. When you use it as an adjective, you say the Democratic member, or the Democratic solution, or the Democratic plan. And so...
God love him! Finally!
Where do you
somebody!
Where do you think my pubes comment came from?
Yeah.
So, I assume it's a good
faith... Explain math to these people.
Hold on, let's...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
If it is an adjective, you say the Democratic member, or the Democratic solution, or the Democratic plan. And so... I assume it's a good faith grammatical error the first few times, but after people are corrected several times and they continue to say it, it seems like it's an act of incivility, as if every time we mentioned the other party, it just came out with a kind of political speech impediment, like, oh, the Banana Republican Party, as if we were to say that every time we mentioned the Banana Republican member, or the Banana Republican plan, or the Banana Republican conference. But we wouldn't do that. So out of courtesy, when it's an adjective, refer to the Democratic congresswoman or the Democratic member. Having said that...
I love him. Isn't that wonderful?
God bless Raskin's oncologist. God bless
rest.
Long may they both live.
Yes. No, that's where that note I sent you yesterday about pubes. Started with pubes on the coat can. So right now, all they care about is pubes. We should just start calling them the pubes. The elephant fucker pubes. Because they're so fragile. Yeah, the pubes.
Yeah, the pubes.
Pass it on, folks. Hold on. Stop for a second. Hey, horn people out there in the hornverse, send some money in. This is great content. This is great. Live. Okay. We got Miami. We have California. We have West Virginia in the house. We're talking shit. We're taking names. We're passing out recipes. There's intrigue. Send some money. Robin needs some money, honey. All right. Send your pennies, your dollars. Send it in. Thank you. All right. Go ahead.
Thanks to Smitty in Florida. Smitty got us off the schneid relative to the goose egg we had. So we're down to 275. Thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for making sure we didn't have a goose egg. Thank you so much.
I think that's quite a service to provide to the general public and aim toward the Republicans about the what would it be, parts of speech? Would that be the heading that it would come under?
Grammar, syntax.
Grammar. Okay. So if we get them on the straight and narrow in terms of doing that correctly, do you think they're going to be ready to diagram sentences? Because two of the people whose sentences defy diagrammability are Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. I defy anybody. You can have the longest, widest chalkboard in the world and a lifetime supply of white or yellow chalk, and it's an impossibility to diagram some of these sentences that come out of their pie hole. I mean, think about it. And I was never much at that part of class. When it came to diagram sentences day, I always tried to stay home, feigning illness of one sort or another. Ma, I think I got a mild case of the plague. I can't go in today. You know, the Black Death is creeping up my leg. I don't know. But I never could.
Mama Berry Berry's acting up this morning.
Is there an app for that? Maybe that would help me if I could find an app that would show me how to diagram a fucking sentence.
But I did want to bring this up, and thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just jumped in, so now we're down to 265 to go. Thank you, Ralphs.
Go, Ralphs.
No, I wanted to bring this one up because sometimes I see stories, I'm like, wow, they did that. They went that far. And again, it couples with this notion, this new reality of, well, that would have been struck down by a sane Supreme Court, but who knows? Down in Florida, where you are, Jerry.
That's what I'm calling in.
Yeah. One of Monkey Up's pet legislators, a dude by the name of Jason Brodeur, he's from Lake Mary, wants to start fining journalists and bloggers. And he's introduced a bill that requires anyone who writes about Monkey Up or any other member of Florida government to register with the state of Florida and submit monthly reports on how many times they've written about a member of Florida government.
And we're not even America anymore.
They would have to either register with the Florida Office of Legislative Services or the Commission on Ethics. It would apply to anybody who writes an article, a story, or a series of stories about the governor, the lieutenant governor, a cabinet officer, or any member of the legislature and is paid to do it. And if they don't do it, they get fined a maximum of $2,500 and $25 a day every day that they don't pay the fee. These guys have no regard whatsoever for the Constitution.
Is this regarding
the ban in that,
or if I'm on a blog or a
it's journalism,
Facebook, or
it's
whatever.
All happy.
Hold on, let let Scott, and then one at a time.
No, I'm just curious as to whom would this apply?
Anybody.
Everybody.
Oh, so everybody, okay.
Anybody who is paid money to write stories or blog posts. Yeah, anybody.
And this solves what problem?
They're not solving problems.
If compensation is paid for a series of posts or for a specific amount of time, the blogger would be required to disclose the total amount to be received upon publication of the first post in said series or time frame. Now, these little shitbirds, these Republicans in the Florida legislature, don't have enough brains to write something like this by themselves.
No, that's good.
This Alex shit.
They bought that from a service.
What it is Monkey Up picks up the phone and says, God damn it, I'm tired of them talking about me wanting to eliminate African-American history, even if I do. Give me a bill.
They've redefined the term lockstep. They really have. I wish a Florida Democrat would set himself on fire or something.
It does not apply to newspapers or similar publications.
What is the difference between a newspaper and a blog? Corporate structure? I mean, I thought the First Amendment was the First Amendment or just the amount of First Amendment.
No, because bloggers really, really do. Bloggers pay attention to stuff that maybe a big journalism outfit won't necessarily see. And they don't like it, Republicans.
By and large, if you've got a blogger who's really on the ball and knows what the deal is, they write in such a way that it's abundantly clear what their point is and why they're correct about whatever it is that they're making an observation on. And newspapers.
So then you can just be an anonymous. Oh, yeah, give me.
But don't newspapers tend to hold back establishment publications? They'll give you a version of whatever's going on, but they pull their punches, I guess, is
avocado.
What I'm looking for.
Well, I think that's part of it, but it's also that some of this stuff just doesn't. Some of this stuff just doesn't make it. It's too small potatoes. But some bloggers focus on policy-specific areas, and that's that's what they have time for that major organizations don't. Here's a classic example. Down in Texas, there is a woman whose handle on Twitter is @LivingBlueTexas. Now, there's a Texas legislator, a brand new guy named Nate Schatzlein. I'm not kidding.
Nate Schatzlein? Is that what it's
called? You do your Tuesday Schatz laundry and you hang it out on the Schatz line. Is that it?
Right.
Anyway.
He's from North Texas, and he is the proponent, he is the original sponsor of a bill. Here we go again. To ban drag. Well, naturally, Living Blue Texas went digging around and found a video of Nate Schatzlein in high school. Move your body crazy, you will be my sexy lady. Sexy lady, sexy lady. Follow me, yeah, we got it. Let's get this party started. Yeah, I know the music's a bit much. Let's get this party started. Sexy lady, going crazy. The sexy lady in this case is Nate Schatzlein skipping with some of their high school pals while wearing a dress and like a little Mardi Gras mask. So
I've never worn a dress or makeup, but it's okay if you do.
Meet new Texas legislator Nat Schatzlein, who's made out his priorities to attack gay and trans children in Texas and criminalize drag shows, yet Here he is, dot, 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 in drag.
Skipping rope.
To which Nate Schatzline responded, and of course now he doesn't look nearly as queer as he looked back in high school, because he's grown himself a nice dysphoria beard and everything. And y'all really going crazy over me wearing a dress as a joke back in school for a theater project? Yeah, that's not a sexually explicit drag show, LOL. Y'all will twist anything. Michelle, please find something better to do than look up old videos from when people were in school.
That's your comeback?
Yeah. And but then it wasn't enough, and I want to take a minute with this quote. So yesterday, he put up a video response. The left wing is attacking me for some class project I did as a teenager where my buddies dared me to wear a dress. Well, was it a theater project? You know, if it's a theater project, you don't have to be dared. But we're not going to let it distract us from the real message of what we're trying to get done here in the Texas legislature, which is to ban sexually explicit drag shows and preserve the innocence of the next generation. Well, I guess Nate lost their innocence back in high school. But the business about the dare, okay? If you knew the number of people who have thought and said, well, yeah, I'm only dressed this way because I lost a bet or someone dared me to do it. It's an out. It's a semi-plausible deniability. No. I wonder if before he shot the video response, I wonder if maybe he cleared his browser history. They browse a lot of trans porn in Texas, Republicans do.
You better. But what I'm wondering about, and I've heard references to this story, but I get hung up, and it's been a while, granted, since I've been to a drag show, okay? But I don't recall them being, to use his terminology, sexually explicit. Isn't that what he said it was?
Yeah, sexually explicit.
What are they doing in the drag show that would cause him to label them that way?
Nothing.
Well,
it's dance and lip sync. Okay? And a lot
it's
of prancing.
The period part, which can't be defined by anything.
And a lot of prancing. And you know, it's an overt projection of hyperfemininity. I mean, I don't live like that because, again, it is a performance art. It's not burlesque. No one's peeling. There's no fan dances. There's no parrot that knows how to take off a bra. Okay. And in the case of a drag queen, you really don't want to see that because the bra comes off and so do the boobies.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
And then it's just a naked guy. You know, wait a minute. Let's deal with this for a second. If one was to watch a drag queen undress on stage live, down to nothing but a brief, you know what the drag queen would then look like?
Well, depends on whether...
A professional wrestler.
Well, yeah, I hadn't thought about that as an option, but
see, there are people who expose their young children to professional wrestlers who perform fake violence for the edification of the audience, and those professional wrestlers are a hell of a lot nearer naked than any drag queen I have ever seen.
I don't recall ever seeing them lip sync to any Broadway or musical.
Well, maybe that's the break point. I don't know. Oh, thank you to George and Course Gold. Hey, George, thanks so very much. George just got us down to
255.
No. 240. 240. Thank you, George. Thank you so much.
Okay. George! Salute!
I want, Robin, I want to see you do the Curly Howard calculator bit where you press the buttons on your vest and pull the paper tape out of your mouth.
Out of my mouth,
read
yeah.
Read off the totals.
By the way, George added, I'm so sick of these juvenile name games by the GOP. The Democrats should simply call them Republicans or the Republican Party. See how they like it.
Pubes. The Pew Party. Come on. No, you can't.
Republicans.
You can't fight insult. See, it's going to take off. We just got to keep doing. You can't fight insult with logic. You need to double the emotion.
It does kind of amaze me that the congressional Democrats have just noticed that, though. Because this was a talking point
We noticed it five years ago.
Are you kidding me? More like 25. Okay, this whole call it the Democrat Party was it came from Newt Gingrich. And his list of words to use. And you use Democrat, and then when you say Democrat, you emphasize the rat. That's where it comes from. By the way, back to the Florida registration bill. Stephen New York says, register as a journalist, even out-of-staters. If they pass that, I'm going to blogging every day about them and get my law practice to pay me $1 a year. Bust their ass, Steve. Lee in New York said, crime of journalism. One name, Thomas Paine. There you go.
What are they doing?
No, you're in a better position than we are. You're down there. I mean, I'll tell you what.
I'm in North Havana.
I know, but
I'm
just...
I'm in North Havana. I don't know what those fucking yahoos are doing in Tallahassee. That's 500 miles away.
Yeah, but they still got jurisdiction over you. Here's the funny thing, though.
No, the hell they do.
No, thought experiment. You're down there, Jerry. I would like you to do me a favor. Do us all a favor.
Go ahead.
Start rattling off just a few problems, real, legitimate, no kidding, problems that Florida has.
I did. Water quality. Affordable housing. Hurricanes. No insurance companies.
Sea level rise?
I can't even worry about the sea level rise yet. I mean, you already need to have something that floats down here, just kind of in your...
It's still this way, isn't it? Something as simple as a king tide will flood the streets of South Beach in Miami?
Our real estate is going to collapse in 3 years because there's no insurance. And how about Rhonda said he wants to control Disney content? He said that out loud.
But, I mean, there are real problems in Florida that are just going unaddressed by the maggot legislature down there. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but Florida's always liked a little fascism.
Here's my question, though. We know what they're up to.
Go ahead.
We know what they're up to. They're focusing on things that may be at issue, but are definitely not an existential problem. So what is it that they're up to? Do they know that...
Fascism.
That is... But there's got to be a motivation behind this.
Well, the motivation, Scott, you know, I was just over on the Rock Hudson set. You know what they got over there, Uncle Jed? Motivation. They're just swimming in it. Their motivation is the consolidation of power, even as their demographic shrinks and dies. Okay? They know...
Well, it just seems like their desperation personified. If they've gotten to the point where they're not even able...
They only got a couple more elections.
if they're not even able to look at real issues and real problems that need addressing and have for some time,
the onions
and
first.
They're focusing on if they're focusing on
Primera.
Bullshit side issues,
onions.
It just doesn't make any sense that they have much in the way of a future.
Well, they don't. I've used this analogy or this metaphor 100 times. They are like woolly mammoths who have wandered into the tar pit. And they can't get out. And they know they're going to die. They know they're going away.
They
they're constantly sinking, and they're bellowing to an uncaring sky. Their rage and their fury. But sooner or later, the tar pit does what tar pits. But sooner or later, the tar pit does what tar pits do, and the last word of the woolly mammoth in the tar pit is floop.
Yep. Yeah. There you go.
Woolly mammoth. You know what? Before they were the elephant party. Now they're the sneaky snake party. But yeah, the metaphor still works. I just made some Cuban coffee for you, Scott. If you're not going to have some, I'm going to have some too. And I'm going full cholesterol here. I have some sweetened condensed milk. Is my creamer?
In oh my God, yeah. Oh, I can't have that. But that would be so good.
No, you can't. You can't even hear about this, Rob.
And what's it called?
Cafe Cubano. Cuban coffee.
Cuban coffee, but I'm sweetening it with condensed milk, which is milk and sugar with all the water.
Eagle brand milk, sweetened condensed milk.
Yes. If you haven't had your coffee with condensed milk, what are you doing with your lives, people? That's all I have to say.
Oh, my dear friend with the Thai food truck. Occasionally does Vietnamese stretched coffee, and it's very similar.
Is it? Oh, yeah. You know what's terrible coffee? Turkish coffee. My God. What happened to those people?
way back a million years ago, I took a friend of mine to lunch at the local Middle Eastern restaurant up in Morgantown, and I used to just love to go there and get a basket of pita and a plate of hummus and some Turkish coffee. And so I got us both Turkish coffee. He takes one sip and goes, "What the fuck? This is Turkish bong water. This isn't coffee. This is bong water."
It is bong water. That's exactly what it is. Wow. You like Turkish coffee, Robert?
I used to like all coffees. I don't care. Coffee, Java, Jamoak, Joe, Carbon Remover. I loved it all, which is why I'm decaffeinated now.
Oh, you can't have coffee at all?
No, I'm just decaffeinated. I can have coffee. I can have decaf. And God knows.
I had decaf in the crazy house. And that's one of the things that inspired me to get my shit together, play bingo, and leave. Because I was like, no, this isn't coffee. I need coffee.
Wait a minute. That inspired me to get my shit together, play bingo, and leave. Not laughing at, laughing with. You're all muffled, but I got to share this from Brother Deacon Asa. Back to the clip with Jamie Raskin. Jamie Raskin is the greatest pimp that ever lived. He straight bitch slapped that old broad. Yeah,
he did. I think he was too long winded, but they don't.
No, but you have to go for a, Jerry. You have to go for a while to make sure, you know, and snap your fingers in front of Clanny Oakley's face a couple of times to make sure that she's, you know, there and in the moment.
Yeah, I wish Clanny Oakley wasn't so hot. I got to be honest; she's really attractive.
Oh, I can't see it. She's just gross.
You're wearing jeans yesterday. I see, but no, but you got to turn the sound down. That's how you do it. She's so passionately enthusiastically wrong too. That's the part where I'm like, "Why
yes,
are you so
she's
happy
in,
about being stupid?"
She is enthusiastically, confidently stupid.
And why she has this vocal flair when she's wrong? I've heard some evangelical pastors do, and she's up on it. But she has nothing to say. She says it poorly. Did you
did you see the thing where motorized parking gamer says we need our safe spaces? As Hannity was trying to go, no, they're not talking about civil war.
Yeah, right. Again, she says national divorce because she can spell national because she's a Christian nationalist, and she can spell divorce because she's going through one. But it would be a complete disaster if she tried to spell secession.
Bueno. Did you see she can't read a double comma number? Did you see that?
Yeah. Yes.
And she said a billion people tried to invade the border. I'm like, we would have seen a billion people on satellite. What the hell are you going on about? She said that.
Yeah, I know. We would have seen a billion people on the satellite. Yeah.
Robin, are you talking about the clip where she's at some hearing or something, and she's trying to describe a 6-digit number?
Yeah.
Yeah. She finally settled on 1.5.
I had to run that back and watch it again.
Well, if the same thing doesn't happen to you that happened to me, I will be disappointed in you, Scott, because the minute she started, I immediately saw the monkey and the arm garters and the little green visor and the pencil.
Yeah, she needs that monkey when it comes to ciphering.
She's got a fighting chance if she's got the monkey. Y'all, I got to get out of here. Where did the time go?
You can't leave. We still got stuff to say. I guess we can save it for tomorrow.
A calculator would help her. She could get Palmar brain or whichever one of those early calculators used to impress the hell out of us with all those extra buttons and nobody knew what they did.
Oh, yeah. The Texas Instruments graphing calculators.
The TI, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we have two competing obligatory Star Trek references. This one courtesy of Lee, subject line coffee. I would like to try Roctagino first, and then Randy Radar responds with, I'm having a Romulan ale myself.
A Romulan ale.
Shit will kick your ass. Dream dreams and see visions.
I think Synthol's out right now. You like
chocolate? Yeah, it sent the hall.
Yeah.
Well, listen, y'all, I am out of here. Scott, I hope you get
Scott,
to feeling
do
better.
Stretches at least. Do some stretches. We lose muscle mass as we age. I think that's part of your problem.
Stretches.
You got to address that.
Yeah. Stretching.
I'd never considered that. Well, I'm
yeah.
This little session has done me a world of good.
I'm glad.
Pick it up in my voice. Just the fact that I'm not feeling as low as I was. And what is today? Thursday? Maybe I'll go out and take a walk around the neighborhood. Just once around the block, go up to 7-Eleven, get me a Slurpee and a Slim Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And a moon pie. There you go.
RC Cola and a moon pie. Play Maypole on the hill.
You just screwed up the clock. Get drink some water, Scott. Do some stretches. One of those three things, not all of those three things. You need to keep calling in and get a bird, damn it.
Scott, get yourself a green alcohol and rainwater.
Totally the wrong direction there.
My purity of essence.
Exactly.
Maybe that's my problem. I'm a quart low on my purity of essence or whatever it is.
It may very well be.
That's what I need to do is watch one of my Stanley Kubrick movies tonight, maybe Dr. Strangelove.
That's how about The Shining?
Ooh.
How long has it been since you went to the Overlook Hotel?
It's been a while, and I'll tell you, I came very close about 2 weeks ago. I'm looking through my YouTube videos, and there's people doing a voiceover. I don't even think they were connected with the film. They were talking about the movie The Shining, and they were describing things in the movie that most people wouldn't understand that were symbolic of something else. And they got really deep into it. And I'm thinking, well, now I got to watch it again because it's been a while since I've been to the old Overlook, which is actually a hotel. Where did they say that was? Up in Montana?
Colorado.
Dakotas, maybe?
Colorado.
It was based in Colorado in the film, but the actual building is a real building somewhere else, according to these guys.
Oh, now you're going to make me... Oh, okay. Real Overlook Hotel.
And on the place where they did the...
Oregon, the Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood in Oregon.
I know it was up there, up in the Northwest somewhere.
No, I would go there. I wouldn't stay there, though. Drive by and go, yep, that's it. Keep going.
And somebody that I...
No, I'm not stopping.
...my D.C. days was in that movie, and you'll never guess who it was. Do you remember when...
Scatman
Crothers is watching the local news down in Florida, and the newscaster comes...
Glenn Rinker or Ann Bishop? Glenn Rinker or Ann Bishop?
Glenn Rinker used to be at Channel 4 in D.C., and when I used to go over there,
yeah.
I used to talk to him. Hell of a nice guy. Was into sailing, and there was a shakeup in the local anchor there situation, and he went down to, was it WTVJ in Florida? Or TMJ, something like that?
TVJ? POG.
Yeah.
He went to Channel 10.
I don't know. It's been a while, but
you got three of the letters, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. So we knocked out a little bit of trivia too, and
well,
I got to
no, what I was
and I
got to
go. I got to go. Y'all, I got to go. I do. I just do.
That you're putting up. All right. Go do you, Robin. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Scott, for being a part of my consensual hallucination. Thank you, Horn community. Send your pennies, your dollars, and your coins in.
Thank you, Jerry. And hey,
good night, Jerry.
Sounds like dinner's been has been going on as you spoke. So I hope it's absolutely delicious.
Cooking. She's doing a great job. I gave her a little help, but she's doing a good job. She got the basil, a little cilantro there, a little avocado oil and chicken. Yeah, very impressive.
I love cooking with avocado oil because it'll take a lot of heat.
I'm realizing that. I just like the taste of it. I didn't know it was, it's almost takes as much heat as, peanut butter.
Maybe more.
In that range.
Yeah. But anyway, y'all have a wonderful evening, okay? We'll talk soon. Friday on the front
God
porch tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Scott.
Good night, Robin. Good night, Jerry. Good night, Horn people.
Good night, Robin. Good night, Scott.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, John boy.
And I'm glad we perked you up, Scott. Take care. So, one last thing. I had a communique from Jessica up in Minnesota. Remember, she resides in the Greater Rochester Municipal Co-Prosperity Sphere. She dropped me a note and said, just finished another day of service at Mayo and running on an errand or two, and I'm going to try and stream the program on the drive home. I don't think I updated the Horn Family Community Congregation on this, so my apologies if I'm repeating myself, but I told y'all that I was on the list for breast augmentation surgery, but I received a call in mid-January saying the March surgery calendars had opened and asked if I wanted to first available or if I wanted to see what the options were. Given I have an annual model railroad gathering I will be attending on the 10th, I asked for the list. The last available date was March 31st, my mom's birthday. And I absolutely seized that date, Jessica says. Not only is that the International Transgender Day of Visibility, but it's the day I came out to the world in 2020. It's only fitting, then, that I undergo the procedure that I've been wanting for so long and have been fighting for with my insurance company to cover my tissue expanders. In order to get the sizes that she wants... they're going to do a two-part procedure. And what's curious is that it has been used for breast reconstruction following a mastectomy, but Jessica will be the first trans woman to use tissue expanders for breast augmentation at Mayo. She writes, so I get the distinction of being a trailblazer at the transgender and intersex specialty care clinic at Mayo, and I will have given my trans siblings another option in their transitions. 29 days and counting. Anyway, I thought I would share that news, and I'm going to kick in $5 to celebrate my news. Susan and I, our fifth wedding anniversary, which we observed on Valentine's Day. So if anybody else in the family community congregation wants to observe and celebrate these events and has an extra $5, please give to the lovely lady behind the microphone. Thank you, Jessica. Hope you all are having a good day, and I'll try to send another message the evening before or on the early morning of the 31st. Signed, Jessica, from deep inside the greater Rochester Metropolitan Co-Prosperity Sphere. Took me a while to memorize that, but I did. I just love that. I'm so proud and happy for you, Jessica, and thank you so much, and happy fifth anniversary to you and Susan. And God, I know why you're so excited. I do. So thanks, everybody. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening. Thank you so very much. Y'all got us down to 235 to go, so we're looking at 535 for Friday on the front porch. Looking forward to tomorrow already. I have a feeling we're going to have a rousing conversation. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Don't know if Roger made it in. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe. Please. It helps grow the program, and it's making a significant difference. Thank you. Oh, and over there at TuneIn, press the little heart button on that player, too, if you're listening there. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Get your boosters. Get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help stop the spread of RSV. Warm weather's coming. Wear your mask, though, because, well, maggots are real, and they're really, really viral, and not in a good way. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown suggests. Hey, Paul, hope you're doing okay. It's been a while. And, of course, if some dude from North Texas comes towards you saying, "Well, that wasn't drag. My buddies dared me to wear a dress." Sure they did, hon. We see you. You're valid. Now, avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Lighter.